Support for WYPR comes from University of Maryland Medical System, where world-class doctors are pioneering immunotherapy that's helping to stop cancer in its tracks. And with screenings and advanced treatments across the state, it's cancer care made for Marylanders. Learn more at umms.org/cancer.
And welcome back. It's midday at the theater. Now, we've been at the movies. Now we're going to where they have the live actor types. And Jay Wynn Russick, our theater critic, is with me here in Studio A. I'm Tom Hall. We're going to talk about The Great Gatsby. So, Judy, it is safe to say that F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby is one of the great American novels. This is a musical.
Yes.
Does The Great Gatsby make good fodder for a musical?
Well, it certainly is one of the great American novels. The Atlantic put it at the top of its list. And there have certainly been lots of previous adaptations in various genres. Two major motion pictures, 1977, directed by Francis Ford Coppola, 2013, directed by Baz Luhrmann. There's a ballet. There's even an opera, which debuted at the Met in 1999. And there have been other musicals, including one with a score by Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine. There are many reasons why Gatsby is especially well-suited to musical theater. For starters, it's about a romance, and there's lots of yearning.
Gatsby and Daisy. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Jay Gatsby fell in love with Daisy 5 years earlier. World War I intervened, and Daisy married someone else, a man named Tom Buchanan.
Oh, you hate it when that happens. Oh, my gosh.
But Gatsby, undeterred, is determined to win Daisy back. He has become immensely rich. He builds a mansion on the Long Island Sound across the bay from Daisy and Tom Buchanan. He gives extravagant parties at this mansion. Despite the many times and the many ways that Gatsby has been adapted, despite its deceptively short length on the page, Fitzgerald's novel is very complex. In many ways, including thematically, it's fairly subtle. And in terms of plot, at times it's deliberately ambiguous. But instead of subtlety or ambiguity, Kate Carrigan's script for the current musical fills in at times it adds to the plot and the characterizations. Under Mark Bruni's direction, this is a big, splashy show, and that's fine. It's a fun representation of Jay Gatsby's opulence. But there's no need to augment the building blocks of Fitzgerald's classic or to let the glamour overtake the meaning.
Again, The Great Gatsby, the musical, is at the Hippodrome Theater here in Baltimore. Let's talk about the music. It takes place in the roaring 20s of the jazz age. What's the score like? Would you define it as jazzy?
I would. Yes, the show is set in 1922. It's in the midst of the jazz age. And composer Jason Howland and lyricist Nathan Tyson do incorporate a good deal of jazz. The orchestra is heavy with brass and percussion. There's barely a stringed instrument to be found. And there's lots of music. Even the supporting characters get solos. Tom Buchanan's mistress, for instance, also her husband. I have to give a shout out here to actor Tally Sessions, who gives the production's most moving performance as this devoted but duped spouse. And then there's the show's oddest number, the second act opener. That's led by another supporting character, the bootlegger, who's the source of Gatsby's fortune. Also, given that this is the jazz age and Gatsby likes to give parties, there's plenty of dancing. The choreography's by Dominique Kelly. She goes all out in several huge production numbers. There's tap, there's a good deal of period influence, including some Charleston. Some of the best things about this show are the way it looks, the way it moves, the way it sings. I brought a clip from the opening number. This is the Broadway cast. You'll hear the brass I mentioned and the cast's exuberance. Let's listen.
Where's the party and can you take me there? And when the party's over, can you find another party somewhere? We live for today. We pay out the cops. And when you think the party stops, the party's going on. The party's going on. We'll keep it on and on and on and on and on and on and on.
That's the Broadway cast of The Great Gatsby. And Judy, the musical is launching its national tour right here in Baltimore at the Hippodrome. You mentioned the romance, of course, is at the core of The Great Gatsby. What do you think about the chemistry between the actors who play Gatsby and Daisy?
Well, Gatsby is played by Jake David Smith, and he plays him as a man who tries not to just look rich and successful, but confident. Having lost Daisy once, however, has left a dent in his confidence, so we also see some vulnerability. Senzel Amati plays Daisy as a woman so well protected by social class and wealth, she's more surface than substance. Appearances clearly mean a lot to Gatsby, so that explains some of the attraction, and that is a form of chemistry. Like the novel, the musical has a narrator, Daisy's cousin Nick Carraway. Traditional Broadway musicals often have a main couple and a secondary couple. One of the interesting things that writer Kate Carrigan has done is to enhance the secondary couple, Nick and a female golfer. Joshua Grosso gives a sympathetic performance as Nick, a relatively innocent Nick. He gets his eyes wide open by the self-serving power and the attitudes of rich high society. Speaking of the filthy rich, but in this case, the nouveau riche, I have a clip from a production number at one of Gatsby's opulent parties. This is New Money, again, the Broadway cast.
That's the Broadway cast singing a big number from The Great Gatsby. It's New Money is the name of that one. The touring production is at the Hippodrome, Judy. So with all this talk of immense wealth, what's the show look like? Does it look like, you know, extravagant New Money?
Well, the lavish sets and productions are by Paul Tait Depew III. There's so much gold in Gatsby's mansion. In this number we just heard, New Money, even the potted plants are gold. Linda Cho won a Tony Award for the costumes. These include gorgeous, sparkly flapper dresses with equally stunning headdresses, lots of feathers. So the production has a lot of spectacle. In contrast to this sumptuousness, Fitzgerald's main characters are so morally stunted, they're essentially soulless. It's a contrast that could have made this discrepancy starker and more troubling. Instead, the show's fancy trappings overpower Fitzgerald's dark social commentary.
All right, The Great Gatsby. It's at the Hippodrome Theater right here in Baltimore through Saturday evening. So, Judy, the Hippodrome recently announced next season. They've had quite a season this year with all these, you know, touring productions that are starting here. They're originating here and then going off into the world. What strikes you as some of the highlights of next year at the Hippodrome?
Well, it's another promising series. In this case, it includes the Tony Award-winning Best Musicals from the past two seasons. Maybe Happy Ending won the 2025 Best Musical Award. It's a small musical about two robots who fall in love. And that show will launch its national tour at the Hippodrome in September. The other Best Musical winner is The Outsiders. That won the 2024 Tony. It's adapted from S.E. Hinton's novel and the Francis Ford Coppola's movie about teenage gangs in Oklahoma in the 1960s. It has a score by the Jamestown Revival, an Americana duo. I'm looking forward to that. Another Broadway musical I'm looking forward to is Hell's Kitchen. This is Alicia Keys' semi-autobiographical musical. It's not entirely a jukebox musical. She also wrote some new songs for it. And there are two musicals based on quirky cult movies. Each one is a mix of comedy and gore. The Heathers, which is also...
which are often paired, aren't
course,
they?
Of course, yeah. And sung about. sung and danced about. The Heathers, which is also launching its national tour here, is adapted from a 1989 movie about high school popularity, Run Wild. And Death Becomes Her is about two women, rivals for youth, beauty, and the same man. That's based on the 1992 movie that starred Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn. So, robot romance, teen gangs, comedy, and gore. Oh, and I should mention, Hamilton will play a three-week run in March.
Well, that about covers all the bases, doesn't it? Well, it's really cool that, you know, the Hippodrome has been the place where so many of these national tours are launching. That's a really great you know, testament to the importance of the Hippodrome, not just here in Maryland, but on the national scene. All right. Thanks, Judy. Appreciate it. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Tom.
And next week, we're going to talk about a new show at the Everyman Theater, a world premiere. It's called Dawn. And that's it for us today. Tomorrow, guest host Erica Kane talks transportation with Brian O'Malley, the director of the Central Maryland Transportation Alliance, and Quan Wyatt of the Fund for Educational Excellence. Fresh Air is up next after news at the top of the hour. Midday's director and engineer is Shania Mapson. Sam Burmistaz and Rob Sivak produce our program. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. I'm Tom Hall. I'll be back with you on Tuesday. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.